716 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. This is the Sunday Recovery Session with Tony Shevecki, Stephen J. Peak and Troy Zantuck. For Allan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978, call 1-800-ALLAN-MANCE.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is a Sunday Recovery Session here, thanks to our great friends at Allan Mance. Tony Shebeki with you through until 10 o'clock, and joining me in the studio, very good morning to you, Troy Zantuck.
Very good morning to you, Tony Shebeki, and we're peakless. What's going on? The great man, the big fella, he's not here.
No, what is wrong with you, Stephen? Tell us.
I am Kim Kardashian.
Kardashian.
Stupid me.
Yes. Yeah. All right, settle down. Piggy won't be talking to us too much today. He's not feeling well. He's got a dose of food poisoning.
So bad bout.
Every now and then we'll be channeling Piggy in the studio.
Every now and then, yeah. No, the big fella's, he's gone down with a bad case of food poisoning.
How can anything disrupt that gut?
Penetrate. It's one of science's... great conundrums.
It must have been bad food.
But he does send his apologies.
I can do all animals.
All I can say is it must have been rabbit. It to affect Peaky.
I've not known him. I've known him close to 15 years now. I've not known him to go down with food poisoning.
No.
So it must be he must have copped a really bad batch.
Must have. Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, it happens.
But if he's listening, there's a big chance he won't be, but we'll see you next week, big fella.
Yes. Well, I won't actually be here next week. I'll be up in Sydney doing a bit of one-day international work.
Been flying around the country of late, Shebeck.
It's been good. Actually started off in Brisbane on Thursday night. Cracking game for the Aussies. What looked like it was going to be an absolute disaster from the start, but the Victorians...
They got the job done, didn't they?
Yeah, the Victorians to the disgust of the Queenslanders.
Glennie Maxwell, a nice 60, and Wadey.
Wadey, 100 on that final ball. There was never any doubt he was going to get the 100.
Well, when he scampered through for the two, the second last ball, things were looking a bit dicey, but wasn't it great to see? The pressure was on him, wasn't it, as far as runs went, and he delivered with 100 off 100 balls.
And then to see James Faulkner come in and get 4, I think, with the ball.
He bowled very well.
Yeah.
The slower balls back for James Faulkner.
Yeah, not
bowled
very
it beautifully.
Much. So good to see those boys getting up, and they've got another game today. Of course, Australia taking on Pakistan at the MCG. Interesting one, this one. Before we actually talk about that, Tommy from Roval's given us a call. G'day, Tom.
G'day, lads. How you going?
Well, thank you, mate.
Tommy.
Yeah, 2 points I want to make. I think this might be Peaky's best show ever. Yeah. he probably make more sense today than what he ever has.
It's going to be a flog fist, says Peaky.
And the other one, Tone, I don't know whether you've seen this. Last night on the Big Bash, when the streakers, two streakers ran out in the ground, and they must have been out there for a long time, so I don't know what security's doing on the SCG. But anyway, they didn't show one bit of it. But you turn on Channel 9 this morning, they're all over like a fat kid on a cupcake. Birmingham showed it 4 times this morning, and they showed security guards running into each other. But Channel 9, they never show when the streakers run on their games. Are they just trying to take the P155 out of our Channel 10?
Well, I suppose they'll argue the fact that it's a news item, so that's why they showed it, because it's on a news program with the Today Show, or the Weekend Today Show. It's quite funny, actually, because my son mentioned to me, he said, why are they showing anything, Dad? And I said, oh, there must be streakers. And he said, but that's what I mean. Why aren't they showing it? And I said, well, because we don't want to encourage people to do it. He said, well, we're all sitting at home. He said, we're not going to exactly run onto the screen, are we?
But what is the protocol for streakers?
Yeah, you don't show it. You don't show it. I think ever since Andrew Simons or the big fat cat, also Greg Ritchie, I think he might have had lashed out at one as well with a bat. Uh-huh. Greg Chappell lashed out at one
Greg
with a
Chappell
bat.
Greg Chappell did, didn't he? Yeah, he wasn't too
I think since that, I think it's sort of, probably you don't want to show it. But they got fined $5,000 each, those guys, last night. The police have actually come out this morning and said, we fined them $5,000 each. It's a pretty...
It's a fair whack for nuding up, isn't it? It's
not as bad as if you're in Melbourne, though. You get fined $8,936.27.
Is that right?
And 27 cents.
Are we the biggest whackers
We are.
Fine wise of streakers.
Yes, somewhat so. We're the biggest
okay,
whackers.
Okay, so there you go.
There is a reason for it, though. And yep. a lot of people say to me, Shvex, why do you say, you know, get fined $8,736.27? So to put this to bed now, and for everyone who may have wondered this, if you've ever been to the footy or the cricket and you see an unusual amount, this is why. In Victoria, we have a thing called a penalty point system. So 1 point at the moment in Victoria is the equivalent of $127.23 or something like that, or whatever it is. And it goes up with CPI, so every year that actually rises. So next year it might be $129.15 right. or something, yeah. whatever it might be.
Yeah.
The equivalent of running onto the MCG is something like 78 points. So 78 times that amount is the actual fine.
Okay.
So that's why they have such an unusual figure. That's why it's not just a straight,
yeah.
you'll be fined $8,000, because it actually changes every year.
So it's look, it's a big chunk out of the bank balance, isn't it? If you're thinking of
disrobing. Those blokes got fined $5,000 each. One bloke got through. He actually got down through the tractor race and escaped.
Is that he yeah. made the escape?
He got past yeah. the security. But the other guy, unfortunately, was tackled.
Come a cropper?
Yeah, and it was wet ground too.
He got tackled. I like that.
I'm not sure if he got tackled on his tackle, but he got tackled. But it was wet ground too, so the guy didn't have a chance. He was slipping all over the place.
Right.
So the guy that actually got through,
yeah,
pretty fair effort to be able to, because the security guards at the SCG wear footy boots
to gain traction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so a the great guy performance,
that got,
isn't
the guy
it?
That he, got through is yeah. a very good effort. There must be some sport in the Olympics or something that I think he could try out for. Maybe the Winter Olympics, some slalom skiing or something.
It's interesting the mindset of the people that do the streak, isn't it?
No.
Well, it is.
They're smashed.
If you know that,
they've had that much grog inside them that they wouldn't even know what the hell they were doing.
That's a good point. But Helen D'Amico, what was going through her mind?
Yeah.
82 grand final.
Wayne Johnson's foot.
Yeah, Jono wasn't happy, was he?
No.
Brucey went bright red.
Jono grabbed her by the scarf, didn't he?
That's right.
And tried
to
pull her down to the ground. Yeah. Brucey Doyle got a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah, he did. Brucey.
She would have to be the most...
celebrated streaker?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without it.
Some say it changed the course of the game.
Well, yes. And that happened with another, not so much a streaker.
Oh, that moron.
Peter Hall.
Yeah.
We remember Australia-Iran when he ran out into the ground at the MCG.
He
jumped onto the
net. The net, that's right.
And started pulling down the sock and the goal net. Mm. Idiot.
What's the score? We were 2
or was it 2-0? We were either 2-0 or 2-1.
Okay.
I think we might have been 2-1. But I don't blame Peter Hall for that. Terry Venables is still the man that I blame for that loss. 2-0 up, and he brings off a defender and brings on a striker.
And a streaker. boom, boom. Thank you very much. The BBL, Shebex.
Isn't it firing? How many games have you watched of the BBL? Have you actually missed one?
I try and watch two a week.
Two a week?
Yeah.
That's not enough.
It's not enough.
I'd love to hear from people out there. 942-911-16. We've got time for a couple of calls. How many games of the BBL have you missed? There's got to be people out there that have watched every game. I'd love to watch every game, but unfortunately I have a wife.
Yeah, that sort of doesn't get in the way.
Well, no, it does. She does. She just stands in front of the television and says, we are not watching this crap again.
Well, literally, it does get in the way. But two games last night, Shebex, the Sydney Derby, the Sixers versus the Thunder at the SCG. And the Sixers, well, they were very, very, very disappointing. 9 for 99.
That's shocking. Especially for a team that was still in line to finish one or two.
Yeah, and the Thunder made the 100 pretty easily, 2 for 100, off only 10 overs. So their strike rate went up immeasurably. Mm. So the Thunder won by 8 wickets, and they got... just under 40,000, which is a tremendous crowd, but a disappointing result as far as the cricket went. Not not being a close game.
No, exactly. And for the Sixers, a win last night would have seen them on top of the ladder with 10 points and clear on top of the ladder with 10 points. That wasn't the way it was meant to be, though. But the second game was an absolute cracker for our MCG Victorian team, the Melbourne Stars, who have now propelled themselves to the top of the BBL ladder, Troy.
Absolutely, Shebex. The Scorchers batted first, and they were 7 for 134. A top order collapse with Marsh making 8, Klinger 3, Bell a first ball duck, and Bancroft a duck, and Beer was the destroyer there.
Just like he is for the Streakers.
2 for 12 off 4 overs. Magnificent performance by him. Benny Hilfenhaus, 2 for 15 off 4 overs. And Stoinis, 1 for 28. And Golbus, none for 17. And Gannon, he was very expensive, none for 26 off the 2 overs. But as you said, Shebex, for all the Victorian Stars fans, Bob Quiney, 35 off 23 balls.
He's in good form at the moment, isn't he?
Bobby Quiney. And great to see too, isn't it?
Well, you would have to Justin Langer would have to seriously consider having him in that T20 team against Sri Lanka. All the big Dave Warner and those guys are all going to be in India, so it's effectively it's a tough one to say, but it's effectively a B team. But when you have a look at the players that they've got to pick from, it could by far be an Australia A plus team. It's not going to be lacking for anyone.
Not at all, mate. The quality of players is outstanding, and just on form, Bobby Quiney needs to be there.
Yeah. So you would look at probably opening the batting, I would have thought, with Travis Head and Bob Quiney.
Yeah.
I'll think about this. I hadn't thought about it before.
Yeah, well, you put your team together, but just on Kevin Peterson, is he earning his paycheck? Not out 44 off 42 balls. And Marcus Stoinis, not out 40 off 23 balls.
Yeah, it's good to see Marcus finally make some runs. He's been a little bit lacking in that department this year.
Yeah, no, good to see him on the scoreboard. And just as the BBL 06 ladder sits, Shebex, the Stars, as you said, are on top with 8 points. The Heat on 8 and the Scorchers on 8. And the Sixers on 8 as well. The Thunder on 6, the Hurricanes on 6, and the Renegades and the Strikers filling the bottom positions on 4.
Love to see the Hurricanes get into the finals. They're my second favourite team.
Yeah, you got a soft spot for the Tasmanians?
Yeah. Oh, just that team. It's a good team made up of some really good players, and love to see them get up there as well. So tomorrow night, no cricket tonight, in the BBL, but tomorrow night Strikers take on the Renegades at Adelaide Oval, and then on Tuesday night the Stars taking on the Heat at the MCG, Wednesday the Thunder and the Strikers. So a couple of big games for our Victorian teams. One might think that if the Renegades, well, with only 2 games to go, the Renegades need to win them both and win them handsomely to have any chance of making the finals.
Yeah, not out of the
Yet. Jeff Poulter's never out of the equation, and he joins us on the line to have a bit of a chat. G'day, Poults.
Morning, Tony and Troy.
Jeffrey.
It's a super quirky this week.
Ooh.
Tone?
Okay, beautiful. Sorry. Looking forward to it.
Now, last week, in response to the new test opening pairing of Turtle, Renshaw and Bull Warner, we trotted out an Australian team of
animals.
Nicknames, yeah. There have been so many wonderful Australian cricket test nicknames, so we don't stop there. Now, try this team of similar-sounding nicknames, right? So we got Chopper Dasher Ninner, Napper Punter Tugger, Flipper Slasher Spinner, Mocker Sounder. And this team of nicknames, Swampy Tubby Stumpy, Pugsley Gilly Funky, Dizzy Tibby Billy, Fergie Pappy, and we've got a few extras there, Henry, Dutchy, Rowdy.
Great to see Colin Miller get a run.
Yes. And what about the single-syllable nicknames, Tone? Bish, Her, Babs, Roy, Sod, Fritz, Skull, Roo, Bing, Garth, Clem, Duke. And finally, lastly, the O on the end, boys. So we've got Simo, Groucho, Dino, Marto, Bevo, Mo, Davo, Solo, Rhino, Pato, Tomo.
Who was Groucho?
Jeff Moss. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, the former Victorian opening batsman.
Yeah. And just finally, boys, apropos to this week's travel rorts, we reflect on ex-PM Gough Whitlam's supposedly informing his cabinet meeting. He said, "I travel economy and I'm a great man. I could travel economy for the rest of my life and I would still be a great man. But most of the people around this table are pissants, and they could travel first class for the rest of their lives and they would still be pissants." So I think there's a message there somewhere, isn't there, boys?
Yep, don't ever impersonate Gough Whitlam again. That would be the message for me.
I'll take some lessons from you, Tony.
Oh,
good on you, Jeffrey. Thanks again for your time, buddy.
He did say it was going to be super quirky.
And it certainly was.
Oh, I tell you what, that was a great smackdown from the Ushev X, because Pulse was just, he was
pumped up on him.
Oh, mate, the peacock feathers are just out. And you just said, mate, don't impersonate Gough Whitlam again.
22 past 9 here on the recovery session. Brett Phillips to talk some tennis in just a tick. Of course, the Australian Open kicking off tomorrow. So we'll get BP into the studio and have a quick chat to him in just a sec. 25 past 9 on the recovery session. Tony Shebeki, Troy Zantuck and Stephen J. Peake. No, Mikey's not listening. Or is he? Are you there, Mikey?
Stephen can't take a call at the moment.
No, because he's not well. He's ill at the moment, unfortunately, Peake. He got a douse of food poisoning.
He got a fair dose, Shebex, but tell you what. BP's arrived.
He has too. To talk some tennis with us, of course, the Australian Open kicks off tomorrow. It's BP, do they still have that family day on today? The kids
yesterday, Shebex.
Yesterday, was it
packed? Yeah, look, it looked absolutely fantastic down there at Melbourne Park. They do an amazing job every year. The precinct looks better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
you're
right.
Bigger. So it was packed yesterday, and the top line players were looking after the kids. There's a whole new AO ballpark now. So if you're a family and you get the family pass over the next 2 weeks, you are in for a treat. It's like going to the Melbourne show. You can walk out with the show bags from just about every part of the precinct, and you'll have an absolute ball.
Yeah, you certainly do. There's no doubting. And the renovation's still going on at the front?
Yes. So you'll enter around the back.
Okay.
Now, so the new Tandaran Bridge, which sort of links Fed Square, Birrong Ma, all the way through to Melbourne Park. So totally different look. And obviously stage 3 is going to start after the Australian Open. So the transformation is enormous. And I think there'll be another little amphitheatre court of about 5,000. So sort of where the practice courts are now, which is out the back, sort of court 16, 17, 18, they're going to put another stadium in there. I mean, we're the leader, Shebex, and they're all trying to catch up, particularly Roland Garros, who can't even get a roof on the court.
Yeah, well, you've been to all... Three?
No,
or four?
No, I've only been to Wimbledon and haven't done the French in the US.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I've been to Wimbledon as well. And it's an amazing place, but it is so compact, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and jam-packed. I mean, at Wimbledon, the thing that fascinates me, and, you know, it was on the pilgrimage, Zanna's each day, and there's those who aren't guaranteed tickets, and Wimbledon Park, which is like sort of the MCG car park opposite, just full of tents. And these people then go single file. They snake around for miles, just trying to capture a bit of the Wimbledon experience. Mm. So they're not hardened tennis fans. But if they can get in after 5 o'clock, you know, you can still get about 4 hours of play. You can sit up on Murray Mount. You can have a pint, and you can have some strawberries and cream, and just sort of take in a bit of the Wimbledon surrounds.
Or some Pimm's and lemonade.
Pimm's and lemonade. There
so
you go.
So, what's the major difference between the actual vibe and the atmosphere of a Wimbledon compared to an Oz Open, BP?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's quite different because it's probably a little bit more prim and proper at Wimbledon. We don't necessarily get the raucous sort of crowds. It's a more measured sort of crowd. You haven't got sort of the colour, I suppose. I mean, it is all white, as we know, at Wimbledon.
But it's not a festival of tennis at Wimbledon, I wouldn't have thought either. I've only been to Wimbledon for the Olympics, so I can assume that it would be a similar sort of feel. And you don't have all the marquees and all the sponsors and all that sort of stuff doing things at Wimbledon, do you?
To a lesser degree, yeah. I mean, it's probably more about the tennis. The people that go there, I mean, they go to a ballot. I mean, they're hardened tennis fans who go to a ballot just to get tickets. So it's a little bit more well played, as opposed to the real raucous crowds you might hear on the High Sense Arena.
Conservative,
yeah, but great though. because everyone's dressed to the nines. You've got, you know, the guards at the gates at the front who are dressed to the nines. I mean, you get a little shiver up the spine when you walk into Wimbledon. It's just the aura of the place.
And a bloody long walk from Wimbledon train station to the tennis
venue. I knew you'd bring the train station.
No, it is. It's huge, isn't it? It's the best part of a K and a half, I think.
Well, the first time I went there, I stayed with a family right in the heart of Wimbledon. And, of course, Wimbledon itself is... what's the suburb I'm trying to think of? So it's the next extension of Wimbledon. You've got to go up a massive hill.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
It'd be fair to say after about 3 or 4 days, I was jumping in the
is it
the
similar
maxi.
To Anderson Street Hill, is it?
Very good
analogy.
Yeah, absolutely. But this time I stayed at Southfields, which is actually the closest train station. A family lived 2 or 3 doors down, so it was a nice flat route past all the scalpers and those trying to sell me the Bible, and you know, the man who had sort of the van at the front of his house just selling hamburgers and drinks.
Oh, Shebex licking his lips there, BP.
Yeah. I'll get to complete the vision of all 4 Grand Slam venues in March. So I won't actually see 4 Grand Slams, but I've been to Roland Garros, just had a look at it.
Yeah.
Been to Wimbledon, obviously, with the Olympics. And in March, April, we've got a family holiday to the States where Mets City Field, New York Mets, play baseball, is right next door to Flushing Meadows.
There you go.
So I'll get to see Flushing Meadows as well. But there's a train station right in the middle of Flushing Meadows. You get out and you effectively hop in there, which is something that I think is our major advantage, no doubt, with the Australian Open compared to all others. It's just its location and its accessibility.
The proximity.
To get to. It's just... You could not beat it.
And we're not pumping this up. I mean, this is...
Oh, no, we are.
Yeah, well...
But we don't need to.
No, exactly. So when I sit there at Melbourne Park over the last week and I just look at the backdrop of the city, it is phenomenal how close it is. I mean, Wimbledon's about 20 k's out in, SW19. Flushing Meadows, I think about
it's 15,
30, 40 minutes maybe on a bad day with traffic from downtown sort of Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then I haven't been to Roland Garros. I know it's not right.
It's about 10 minutes, 15 minutes out of the heart of city.
Yeah, so we've got a phenomenal precinct.
But it's incredible to think that not so long ago that 3 of the 4 majors, BP, were played on grass.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I mean, we don't see a lot of grass court tennis. That's the shame of the whole season, that predominantly it's hard courts, a little bit of clay, or a fair bit of clay, and then they did try and extend the grass court season to an extra week last year, but that's the great tennis, the grass courts. Even at the practice courts of Roehampton, I went out there last year and watched the qualies, fantastic out there.
All right, mate, take us through the draws have happened. We know who's playing who in the first round. What some of the big clashes?
Yeah, look, it's going to be fascinating, Shebex. The draw, you're in the lap of the gods a little bit. I think the one that really stood out on paper when I first looked at it was Djokovic v. Verdasco, and only because Fernando, go back 12 months ago, knocked out Nadal on centre court in the first round, then lost to the mighty man from Israel, Dudi Seller, who we had on the show earlier in the week. So he's dangerous, Verdasco. He played in that great match 2009 semi-final Friday night v Nadal. Went 5 hours and 11 minutes. He's certainly not the same singles player he was, Fernando, but he's a big game competitor. He and Djokovic actually played in Doha about a week ago, and he saved 5 match points, Djokovic. So Fernando will be up for this one, and Novak's one of the intriguing stories, Zenas, as to how he's going to come back this year.
Yes, and I see Boris Becker's weighed in.
Oh, about, Boris will always
the Joker's training methods.
Yeah, well, Boris is out here doing some TV, so different feel this year. But he had a bit to say, didn't he, at the back end of the year that Novak wasn't as committed. And look, that the rumours were swirling around, certainly. There was a few things going on off court, and I think winning the French, which was the one that had eluded him, sapped a fair bit out of him. And I know when I went to Wimbledon, he did his sort of champions press conference the day before. You could just sort of tell that, he might have sort of been on it, because French and Wimbledon are so close that he hadn't really had any time to come down from winning the French Open. Yeah. So probably no great surprise he went out in the third round. He still had a great year. I mean, he's lost the number one ranking, but his win-loss and winning titles, 2 of the majors, is quite phenomenal. But how he's going to come back is really interesting.
And just on Fernando Verdasco, some interesting terminology comes out around tennis time. Now, would he be described as a dangerous floater?
Dangerous floater. Yeah, I like that.
What does that mean?
Well, he's the guy who has been close to the top, who's had a taste.
Oh, yeah. The loiter.
He's beyond 30 now, but he's still capable of taking a scalp. So he's not the player he was, and you know, he's been able to maintain his ranking, I think, somewhere around that top 30, top 40, so pretty respectable. But it's just lost a bit of his edge because, you know, the next rung has improved so much, the younger brigade who make it pretty tough on the tour. But Fernando's still a big game performer, still loves getting out on the big courts in the big matches, and that's what you play elite sport for.
Yeah, and I think the fans love those sort of blokes as well, don't they?
Yeah, he's always been
a little bit of unpredictability.
Yeah, he's and the lefty too, so we love the lefties in the game. Yeah.
Sir Andy Murray, has there ever been a Sir play tennis?
I don't think so. Look, we sat in on Andy's presser yesterday, Shebex. Now,
I'll
tell you what.
Is it him and Kimmy Räikkönen? Have they been a press conference together?
I love Andy as a player.
Do you?
As a player.
He is
phenomenal. Yeah. What he's done in the last 6 months, he deserved to be world number one at some point in his career. So he's got there and finally at 29. But please, yesterday.
Get a personality.
You could drive a truck through the pauses yesterday of the journos who had actually kicked back in their chair so much they weren't switched on to ask the next question.
They were on banana lounges at one stage, BP. They were so relaxed.
Yeah, again, he just said simply, call me Andy. Just call me Andy. It's as simple as that. None of this, sir. But my understanding is that Channel 7 may refer to him as... I think that's being discussed. They've got a production meeting today.
Wants to be called Andy, you just called him Andy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that wasn't cutting the mustard with Sir Richard Hadley.
No,
it wasn't.
Likes to be called Sir.
Yeah. Was it after, though? Or was it during...
That was after.
He became Sir after, didn't he?
His career, but I think he likes to be addressed as Sir Richard.
Right.
Especially by SEN producers.
Yes. If you're going to get him on.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the right title.
So Andy Murray, a big chance. Djokovic, a big chance. Roger Federer's going to get past the first round.
Well, as we knew, when the draw came out Friday, he was going to play a qualifier. So that's been finalised as of last night. He's got to play Jürgen Meltzer, who's been former world number eight. He's brother Gerald's on the tour as well. So Meltzer's, you know, lefty, had a lot of injuries in the last few years, so his ranking had plummeted, but he can play. So that's not an easy opponent. Second up on Rod Laver tomorrow night in the night session for Roger Federer, and then likely to face another qualifier, and then it gets a lot harder for Roger being, seated, 16 or 17 in the draw. So
we could see Roger and Djokovic at a quarter final or something, maybe?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
It's an imposing record, BP. He's played 93 times for 80 victories and 13 losses.
And we all hope, Senators, there's another chapter. Realistically, it's going to be tough, though, for Roger. But let's hope he can just give us some great moments before he does bow out in the next, who knows? He might go on for another couple of years at least, Rog.
Expect tears if he wins it. Expect tears if he wins it.
Yeah, not quite maybe the tears when he won all those years ago and thanked Rod Laver, but I reckon there'd be a tear in the eye, there's no doubt. And we're going to hear a little bit later on this morning, Shebex, from a young man, and we love telling these stories on the first serve, Blake Mott, who's a Melbourne boy, grown up here. Took some time off the tour to help his old man, who's a tradie, and I think he was renovating houses. Wasn't making a lot of money on the futures and the Challenger circuit. He qualified for his first Australian Open yesterday, so he's guaranteed $50,000. We'll hear from him a little bit later on. And Arina Rodionova, we sat down for a chat with her with Mark Sifoulis, a very good tennis coach in the system, so we'll bring you that on the first serve after 11 this morning.
Been some great interviews there. You had Serena's coach as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, sensational.
What a great interview.
Patrick Mouratoglou, who might just be up clinching the fist if she can break the record and pass Steffi in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And just on Serena, she's got really got other things on her mind of late, hasn't she? She's got the big rock on the finger and...
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, that came out of the blue, I tell you.
Came out of the blue.
I'm not sure how long they've been together, but now she's officially engaged.
He's struggling for a buck too, I hear.
Oh, well,
did you read it, did you?
Jeez, I'll tell you what, the combined bank account.
It's going to be a nice bank account, that
scary
one.
Scary figure.
What about the kids?
he loves...
Go on, Sam.
No.
You're lost for words.
Can't you with it?
Save me, Brett.
It's going to be a mighty effort. She's got Bencic in the first round. Yeah. That is tough.
World number seven.
The first week is never straightforward for Serena. If she gets past the first week, she's a fair chance, but there's a few wobbly moments in that first week. There'll be a 9-7 somewhere in there.
To quote her in her press conference, I didn't come here to lose.
No.
But Kerber's form hasn't been great of late either. I've got to say BP.
No, she's not certainty to hold on to the number one ranking this year, Kerber. That's women's tennis. So by the second day, we might have half a dozen seeds knocked out. So pretty open on the women's side. There's a lot of good players.
I've got a Smoky.
Ooh.
Pliskova.
Well, she served the most aces last year. Any time in women's tennis, you can get 3 points off your serve.
Great.
There's a few in qualifying over the last few days who were serving under 100 Ks, just those lollipops coming out your zenas that you would have pounced on with your big forehand.
Well, that...
But Pliskova, blink and you miss the first serve, so she's outstanding.
Sam Stosur?
Oh, look, no expectations. It's
just starting to be like Watto Lotto now. A couple of years ago, we used to run a few of our mates used to pick a number and whatever Shane Watson would ever make. This is sort of becoming that now.
Well,
will she get past the first round?
Watson, she's got Heather Watson of GB. So she's a dangerous opponent, Heather. But look, Sam, there's no expectation. Who would know? She's lost her last eight matches on tour. She's had a really good career, Sam. She's frustrated us, but you know she'll go down as a Grand Slam winner and in the top 30 for the best part of 7 years. So. But, yeah, unfortunately, her best form is not here in Australia. We have to wait for the clay over in Europe and the hard courts of the States.
So we've got the first serve tennis show coming up between 11 and 12 today. Take us through SEN's coverage of tennis for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we'll be on air 7 o'clock each night right throughout the next fortnight. There'll be some A-League sort of thrown in amongst that as well. So plenty of live sport, but we'll certainly... be in the bunker, Shebex. We'll speak to the stars. We're actually going to sit down with the Bryan brothers in the next couple of days.
Wow.
For a one-on-one, which is outstanding. Over 100 doubles titles. They travel with their partners. The kids are thrown in. They're musicians on the side. Mm. It's just, I mean, what a life they lead.
When you talk about personalities, the Bryan brothers spring to mind.
Absolutely. They're outstanding, Bob and Mike. So we're going to sit down with them over the next couple of days. And then, we'll certainly capture the big moments over the next fortnight, Shebex. And then, semi-finals and finals, we'll certainly call those live in full.
Good. Calling, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time this morning, and he'll be back again at 11 o'clock. Brett Phillips and the team on the First Serve Tennis Show coming up later on today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I think we're talking cricket with Smoke, the big one-day international at the MCG, Australia and Pakistan, coming up this afternoon. It is a 9:45 here on 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Craig Harper and his team coming up with the Science of Sport between 10 and 11. And then, of course, as we said before, the First Serve Tennis Show. Brett Phillips between 11 and 12. Kevin Hillier with Sunday Sports Central this afternoon. A big pre-Australian Open Sports Central coming up with updates right through afternoon from Smokey Dawson talking cricket down at the MCG. Before that, though, Troy, where will I be heading down to breakfast the beautiful Dundas and Force?
There's a fair chance, Shebex, you could be there. It is the place to be in AP. It is where the stars align.
In AP?
Albert Park.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We're ready to keep going, do you want to interrupt me again?
No, please.
Dundas and Fawcett Cafe in Albert Park, Shebex. 1-1 Dundas Place, Albert Park. The Five Grains Porridge, which you've tasted, absolutely magnificent.
I had two servings so I could have 10 grains.
The berries smothered in...
actually get more than 5 grains, just to set that straight.
There could be 7 to 8, I think.
No, there's about 1,000 grains, there's 5 different sorts. You don't just get 5 grains, that's...
Yeah, I'll eventually get through this through this live read, but it is where the stars align for fabulous food and wine. As you know, the Eggs Benedict, absolutely superb. The ricotta hotcakes, a signature dish at Dundas and Fawcett. So do yourself a flavour favour. Get down there. 111 Dundas Place.
Smokey Dawson joins us to discuss the happenings in international cricket at the moment. A very good morning to you, Graeme.
Yes, good morning, Tony. It's obviously very peaceful in there this morning, but I would like to wish Stephen a speedy recovery. And gee, my word, you were very harsh on our great friend Mr. Poulter, because I thought you're not quite as old as he and I, Tony, and his impersonation of the late...
No, I thought it was very good.
It was outstanding.
No, I thought it was very good, actually.
No, it was a very good Sir Robert Menzies impersonation, I thought, Smokey, and a very good morning to you, sir.
Thank you indeed. And now, one thing, too, with your T20 international side, Tony, that you started by picking, I think Mr. Travis Head, who you had suggested would be one of the opening batsmen, will be in the touring party going to India.
Okay, there you go.
I have a feeling that just the other night it was interesting that he bowled 10 overs and Glenn Maxwell didn't have a bowl, so... I think that might be just telling us something. Anyway, we'll know shortly I do believe the squad to tour India will be named at some stage of the day.
Now, will they take a second? So the first squad, will that be the test squad, though, Smoke? I don't think he'd be in the test squad, will he?
Oh, I reckon.
You reckon? Yeah, okay.
I reckon. I've got him in my... I reckon Warner, Renshaw, Khawaja, Smith, Hanscom, they'll all go.
Yeah.
And then I've got S. Marsh and Travis Head, Wade, Stark, Hazelwood, Bird, Lyon, O'Keefe, Zampa, and they may take one more, and it'll be interesting. I don't know whether they'll take four faster bowlers for India, but I do think that Mitch Marsh or Maxwell might be the final player. But I haven't been told, I haven't heard how many they're going to include in the touring party, but I think...
It's normally around 14, isn't it?
Well, yeah, 14, 15. 15. But yeah. They've got the luxury, really, of the fact that Hanscom is so good with the gloves as an emergency don't need to have a backup wicketkeeper.
They haven't taken a backup wicketkeeper for years, though, Smoke, have they?
No, not too often. But sometimes they do. But, yeah, so I thought that told us a story, and I just think he is, I think, technically a better batsman than Glenn Maxwell, I thought Maxwell played extremely well the other night, as you would have seen as well, Tony, that he was a responsible innings because, you know, going in at 4 for 67, the game was very much in the balance at that stage, for sure.
No doubt. True. Mm.
So it was rather interesting that the partnership that turned the game around was between those great Victorian teammates, Maxwell and Wade.
That annoyed the hell out of the Queenslanders, let me tell you.
Oh, yes,
the two Victorians had to save Australia, Troy.
I did pick that up. It's a bit hard from the isolation of the air-conditioned little commentary box, but we have. But you just sense that they weren't too happy.
And Smokey, Australia taking on Pakistan at the MCG today, a 2:20 start. I would imagine the people paying their money to come through the turnstiles would be hoping to see a big innings from Chris Lynn.
Oh, indeed. Mm. And I think he was still very much in the T20 mould. He's played a couple of... he did hit 160 the other night that was, afternoon, that went about 25 rows back. It was massive.
Huge.
But he's got a 50-over game rather than a 20-over game, so he doesn't have to be going at it every ball. So I think just looking at the balance of that side, I did say to Kevin at the time, I felt that they were maybe a batsman short. They certainly had plenty of bowlers. That one of the all-rounders or bowlers may miss out for Khawaja. I think Khawaja will probably play today. May open ahead, could bat 4, and Lynn 5. And I think that would maybe set him up. Does that mean Maxi misses out in Melbourne? The Melbourne crowd wouldn't be too happy with that. And I do think that Hazelwood would probably play today. I think maybe Stanlake obviously wasn't well the other night, might have a rest today, and that Mitch Stark might also have a rest, so they might play everyone else. But I reckon that Hazelwood will play in it, and Stark somewhere along the track, they'll give him a rest as well. But just the way Pakistan's going and the way we're going, we do seem to have their measure at the moment.
Have you seen the progression of Cummins?
Oh, yeah, good. Well, Zanners, that's the greatest mystery in my life. Are these blokes? He was man of the match as a 19-year-old in a test match in November 2011.
South Africa.
And has not played another test since. And he probably played 2 first-class games or something. I mean, I just can't work out how these blokes keep getting injured all the time. Why are they getting injured? Why don't they train properly to play cricket? Did Dennis Lee had a back issue, came back and played for 10 years and never missed a game. Graham McKenzie bowled for 10 years when he wasn't playing for Australia on tour in the winter. He'd go and play county cricket.
I've got a few mates, Smokey, who are science, sports science people and the like, and I love them dearly, but their involvement now in sport, I think, is just too much.
They've got no idea. Every sport and every, you know, football code is different. And to get blokes into gyms and things and run around trained to be fast bowlers. We got a kid at school, son of a former test player, who was the fastest young bowler, and he's about 15 or 16. Hasn't played a game this season because he's had a back injury.
No.
I mean, I just cannot believe it.
No, very true. All right, Smoke, we'll let you get ready, pack your Pataki sandwiches.
I'll keep an eye out for you, Tony, and if you get time, please come and say hello to Dad.
Always do.
And enjoy your touring round, you superstar.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Catch you soon.
Good on you, Graham.
Good on you, Zanis.
Graham Smokey Dawson joining us there for a chat about the world of cricket. Before we head to the break, though, we should just catch up with Stephen J. Peake, because he's got to tell us all about the fantastic people out there at Alamance.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. You've actually sprung me without my notes, but that's okay because I can just about do these advertisements now without needing them.
You should be able to.
I should be able to, of course. You don't just buy and purchase your motor vehicle at Alamance. You get the finance and insurance all taken care of on the spot by Steve in his office, right there for you, waiting for you when you come in after perusing a new purchase or whatever. It's all done there. Your service division at Alamance Motors is second to none. It's top range, and they can service everything that's there sold, new and used cars across the board. You know, Alan Mance, they do the job there. Mance Motors, they've got a hold on me. Yeah, baby!
Couple of minutes to 10, Troy. You better tell us about those fantastic people at Ricardo's Restaurant.
Yeah, Ricardo's in Elba Park, Tony. They've extended their pasta specials to all day, now open from midday onwards every day of the week. And they're two signature dishes, if you don't mind, umpire. The chicken tortellini with cream sauce and parmesan, $24.50, and the spaghetti marinara with garlic, olive oil, mussels, scallops, prawns, and calamari, $25.50 for a main course. Great pricing, great food, great vibe. Ricardo's Albert Park, a cornucopia of fine food.
Melbourne and Cairns in the basketball. You caught a bit of that last night, Troy. 92-85 United.
Fantastic performance by United and a tremendous crowd too. Fantastic crowd at the State Netball and Hockey Centre. Casper Ware, 31, outstanding. And CG, 43, just chipping in there with a lazy 27 points. 92-85 over the Taipans, a great result.
Fantastic stuff. That pretty much wraps up our peakless show. You'll be Shebeculous next week. George Danikian jumping into the studio with you and Peaky.
Yes, it's a bit like the carousel at the show, Shebex.
Yes, jumping on and off. George is over in Adelaide at the moment doing a Greek festival.
The smooth moving, the smooth talking George Danikian, but always doing a show with you, one out, mate. Always an absolute pleasure. And to all the listeners, and the SMS has unfortunately been down today.
Yes.
So hopefully we can get
that
up.
Yes, it doesn't go down too often.
No, it doesn't. Have a great day at the cricket, and to all the listeners, have an sensational Sunday.
I'll see you down at the cricket, folks. MCG, Australia taking on Pakistan, kicks off around about 2:20. Get on down if you can. Try and get a good crowd down there. I think it could signify where One Day International Cricket is at today. If we get 20 to 30,000, it's probably in the doldrums. If we get 40 to 50, it's right up there. We'll talk more soon. Catch you in 2 weeks.